Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, we are back, G-Bag Nation, on your home of the Cowboys, 105.3 The Fan, and we are joined by a smart man, a man that played college at Harvard. Yes, he grew up in St. Paul, Minnesota. He was drafted by the Vikings. He spent several years right here, and then he played for the Ravens and won a Super Bowl there. He is a Scott Linehan guy, he just told us as well at the break. He's Matt Burke here on 105.3 The Fan, home of the Cowboys. And a good morning to you, sir.
I like to say I'm a learned man.
I think
that's how Harvard people refer to themselves. I don't know.
So learned. Harvard, yes, that is very impressive to have on your resume.
Yeah, and I did graduate, too.
Congratulations.
Yeah. D is for diploma.
So what's it like when you get the word that you're going to Harvard? Is that intimidating or exciting? I mean, there's a lot of prestige in there, but
yeah.
You know there's a lot of homework, too.
Yeah, well, I mean, first you're like, well, they must have made a mistake. They must have sent this to somebody else's house. And no, it was great. I mean, you know, it was a everybody knows Harvard. And, I mean, I worked hard in school, got pretty good grades, but I wasn't going to get into Harvard without football. And It all just kind of worked. I didn't think I'd even play college football. And then when they're like, hey, we want you to come here and play football, I was like, really? Okay. I'll do it.
So at each step along the way, it wasn't clear that you were going to survive at that next level of football, was it?
No. And I mean, my first year at Harvard was rough. I mean, it was, you know, 18 years old, and there's 22-year-old guys out there, and you think what you want about Harvard, but a 22-year-old's a man. You know, when you're 18, you're still a boy. And it was rough, but, you know, you just try to find a way, and you lean on your friends and family for support, and you just do your best to figure it out.
So what was it, you think, did your body develop, or was it practice, or was there a sports ability in there that just wasn't seen from the evaluators?
I mean, I was definitely, like, physically a late bloomer, you know, still. I mean, got to college, I was, like, 235, 240, and got up to 310, and so yeah, you know, I enjoy lifting weights, which is a good profile for an offensive lineman, and just got big and strong, and you know, really found, really came to enjoy playing offensive line, which, you know, not everybody does at first. And everyone's like, "Hey, no one says I want to be a lineman." I ask my kids now, "What position you guys want to play?" And I say, "Anybody want to be a lineman?" They're like, "No." I mean, I didn't want to be a lineman, but you know, you go with what God gave you, and it just worked out.
It's kind of like wrestling without the pinning or the winning. You know, you just kind of get back and start the wrestling match again for just the first few seconds. And
yeah, you just kind of like
restart.
You're two big bears, right? Just kind of dancing around, and then you just go back and do it again.
Well, Michael Irvin said it's easy. He said you just stand in front of him for 3 seconds and then do it again. Nice and easy.
Well, I mean, how hard is it to catch a football? You know, you throw me a football day, I'll catch it. Why would you ever drop one?
I can jog down the field, catch the ball, no problem.
Yeah. There we go. Okay, that's fun. What do we need to know about Minnesota as a football town, Matt? This is your city, and thanks for letting us call it our temporary home for a week.
Yes, well, welcome. From a football standpoint, we are I don't think we're over the Eagles' loss yet. This is kind of a long-suffering fan base. Lose 4 Super Bowls in the 60s. Now we've lost 4 NFC Championship games in a row. Kind of felt like this was our year. Had a great year. I mean, just a solid team from top to bottom. Getting to the playoffs, having the miracle win against New Orleans. The games here, it's like, oh, yeah, we're a team of destiny. And then they go to Philly and get smoked. We're sort of like, you know, wah, wah.
I was wondering how, like, the Minnesota fan has to feel walking around the Mall of America, and you go to Under Armour or Nike or Champs, whatever store you're, and they have to put out 50% Patriots gear and 50% Eagles gear as they're just walking by now, seeing Eagles gear all in Minnesota to buy.
Yeah.
It's like, it's not going to sell too well to the locals.
No, definitely not. Especially, you know, I don't think those Philly fans are real hospitable to us. You know, oh, you betcha Minnesotans that went out there for the game. But, I think this week we're all of us Minnesota Vikings fans are walking around and thinking about, boy, what could have been. I mean, how cool would it have been if the Vikings were playing in this game? But, you know, hopefully we can just enjoy it and show everybody. You know, a lot of people come up here and they say, I can't believe people live here. And, yeah, it's going to get cold, but we live here and it's a great place to live. And if you've never been, this is your first time, welcome. Embrace the cold. and then come back in the summer so you get kind of the full okay. the full picture because it's not like this all the time. It's not below zero all the time.
We have not been outside yet. We have not set foot outside.
And you
it's
don't have
great.
To. The whole town is connected with on the second story. We call it the Skyway system. It's just gerbil tunnels all around the city. You never have to go outside if you don't want to. So, you know. So
we are looking forward to maybe exploring the igloos at some point, though.
Yeah, go check out the igloos, the ice castle. You know, like I said, we if you live here, you have to be a winter enthusiast. You got to embrace it. They say the land of 10,000 lakes. Right now, it's the land of 10,000 ice rinks because all the water outside is hard. It's frozen. And, you know, it's good. You play broomball, ice hockey, snowmobile, ice fishing, all that kind of stuff. So
the Vikings are in a really unique spot, and we just talked about it a little bit earlier today, where you had an incredible season that involved three different quarterbacks at some level. Teddy Bridgewater was the guy, of course, horrific injury, but back now, supposedly. Sam Bradford can't stay healthy, but is a talented quarterback. Case Keenum had a great year. Kirk Cousins is now leaving Washington. What are we doing in Minnesota at quarterback?
I wish I knew. I think the fans want to know. Look, it's a good problem to have as far as Minnesota. Case, I mean, you know, who could have predicted that? One of the top, I don't know, top six, eight quarterbacks in the league from a numbers standpoint. You couldn't ask for anything more from really your third string quarterback, you know, to come in and play 15 games for you. Going forward, I think, in my opinion, you stick with the proven commodity. You stick with Case, assuming that the price doesn't get ridiculous. There's always the financial part of the decision, but there's health questions with Sam and Teddy. If you get another one of them to be the number two, I think you keep this train going because all the pieces are there. Now we lost Pat Shurmur, our offense coordinator, who obviously did a great job, but this defense is dominating. It's one of the top defenses in the league, and it's solid. We're getting Dalvin Cook back at running back, who in his short time in the league showed that he was one of the few difference makers at running back, as you guys know with your team. I mean, there's only a few guys in this league that carry the ball that are real difference makers, and it looked like Dalvin's one of those guys. So, you know, if it ain't broke, don't break it. You know, stick with Case and let's roll.
He's a two-time All-Pro and Super Bowl champion Matt Burke with us here on The Fan.
So you talk about game changers, and you played for the Minnesota Vikings decade?
11 years.
11 years. And a guy that came to the Vikings, I believe, was that just before you or just after you or at the same time? Randy Moss.
We were drafted the same class.
Same class.
Yeah.
You guys came to Minnesota together.
We're classmates.
The all-time freak at wide receiver. What was it like day in, day out? Do you get to see in practice him do what he did in the game 10 times a day?
It was a trip. It was a trip from day one. It was like the super freak is here. I mean, he caught 17 touchdowns his rookie year. Who catches 17 touchdowns ever? His rookie year, he caught 17 touchdowns. Like, oh, man, he changed the game. I have five sons. The oldest one's nine, and he talks about getting mossed. Like, oh, Dad, I mossed this kid on the playground. He never saw Randy play, but that's the kind of generational player Randy was. And contrary, I think a lot of this stuff gets, I don't want to say blown up. Hey, Randy did some dumb things, was pretty loud, but fun guy to have in the locker room. Made it fun to go to practice. You could joke around him. You could make fun of him.
You guys weren't rivals.
Right back. No. He was a lot of fun to play with, and just to see what he. I mean, this is the NFL. You know, this is the best in the world. And there were times where, from the wide receiver position, he took over the game. You know, that just doesn't happen very often.
Do your teammates ever get confused if they haven't seen you since your playing days, and they have to? Is that really Matt?
I get a little bit of that, you know. But it's not good. It's good to be 300 pounds if you're an NFL offensive lineman. It's really not good for anything else. So, they had to drop a few pounds after I played, and you know, because oh man, you look like you could play like tight end. No, this body's broke. It's all for look, but you know it's
and health.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to live.
Yeah.
How quick were you able to kind of shed the weight?
You know, I did pretty quickly. I was like, I'm done. Let's just get it off. And you know, it's kind of like my transition struggle. Like I just put all my focus into losing weight. So I lost about 75 pounds, and like I said, just trying to keep up with the kids now.
Was it a challenge for you to keep it on?
It was.
Okay.
Yeah. So it wasn't that hard for me to take it off. And I tell people the secret to losing weight is just start at a really high number. Like, just get really fat, and then you'll start losing weight. Be like, man, you're looking good. You're like, hey, thanks. You know,
Matt Burke with us here. Do you think Randy's going straight into the Hall of Fame this Saturday?
Got to. Yeah, he got to. Like I said, the way that his impact was immediate from day one, and don't know, for more than a decade, or at least a decade, you know, he was dominating.
He is dominating the broadcasting right now.
Yeah.
You check him out on his pregame stuff, and
he's great. Like I said, he didn't really let that side of him show. I mean,
okay.
He was, and I don't know why, and I'm not going to try to predict why, but he's a little bit adversarial with the media, and I think that was part of his deal that motivated him. But yeah, he's a funny guy, smart guy, and he gets it. I think he does a great job on television.
Okay, so what'd you like about Scott Linehan? You say you're a Linehan guy. You were here with him in Minnesota. Sure.
With Lenny, there's no ego. Comes in, here's what we have, and it was always about making it as simple as possible for everybody. I'll never forget one time in practice, at Dante, we had Culpepper, we had Moss, we had a couple of, no, everyone was like, no, we should do it this way, and Scott's like, all right, you know, just settle down, and we kind of walked through it on the field, and he said, all right, is everybody happy? And everyone's like, yeah. He's like, all right, we're going to call this play happy. We called it Scat Right Happy, so because everyone was happy. And I just thought he's very good at, it's not about his system, his stuff. It's about him looking what he has around him, saying, hey, this is what we do best, and let's see what we can do to attack this defense. And, you know, I think by all accounts, he's done a great job in Dallas. He's done a great job everywhere he's gone.
We're always just kind of not sure, because Jason Garrett was the offensive coordinator, and I don't know how to put it, but they kind of took that away from him. But a lot of times when we watch Scott Linehan in Minnesota or in Detroit and we saw this guy that could really open it up here in Dallas, we get a little bit confused. Is this Scott Linehan's plays that he's doing, or is it Jason Garrett's plays and he just has to run those plays?
That's a fair question, but, you know, I think one of Scott's strengths, and this sounds kind of funny to say, but there's definitely a difference. There's guys that know offense and there's guys that can call plays, and Scott can do both. And when you're calling plays, you know, I mean, you want to talk about having to make decisions in real time and, you know, under the gun. You know, I mean, to me, just watching, and I might be biased because how I feel about Scott, but I think he does a great job. And, you know, you look at, especially with the young talent that you guys have, he's bringing them along, you know. And I think that bodes well for those guys. However long Scott is there, that's going to bode well for Dak and Ezekiel and those guys for their entire careers, because they're being brought along the right way and not being given too much early on and gaining a lot of confidence. And, you know, there's still plenty of ceiling there.
Do these Vikings fans, we've heard a lot, do they have enough to make life uneasy on the Eagles or their fans this week in retaliation for what happened two weeks ago?
No, that's not Minnesota. We're Minnesota nice, you know. You betcha. Oofda. But I would imagine that if a Minnesotan's going to the game and they're not interested in the Patriots or Eagles, they will be anti-Eagles just for one, we're still a little bitter that you beat us like you did. And two, the Eagles fans, there are a few stories out there. You know, Philly embraces that identity of just being, you know, horrible hosts. Like, yeah. I don't think you're ever going to see a Super Bowl in Philly, because that fan base is just, they're nasty. So
it's the weirdest thing for us, because we're in Dallas and it's very cordial. You know, the Southern hospitality. If an Eagle fan comes to AT&T Stadium, we're like, hey, good luck to your team. Let's watch a great NFL football game. And if a Cowboy fan goes up to Philadelphia, they're taking their life in their hands.
Yeah, you get a can of beer upside the head or something.
So, Matt, I'm pretty sure I know what yeah, sure, you betcha means, but what does oofda mean?
Oh, oofda can mean a lot of things. It's like, it's oofda, so it's UFF hyphen DA. We say, like, oofda. It's like a, oh, boy, or a, like, whoa, you know,
okay,
kind of deal. Yeah.
It's kind of like
those, you know, pleasant colloquialisms that we have.
Is that a Viking thing?
No, that's just I don't think the Vikings brought that over. I couldn't see, like, these warriors, you know, saying oofda. I think it's just sort of a... Yeah, it's like a Sven and Ole Scandinavian thing out on the farm. Like, oh, oofda, it's cold.
Oofda appears to be an exclamation or interjection expressing bafflement, surprise, or dismay.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of different ways you can take
oofda. It's amazing you had that right at the top of your head.
Yeah,
I've
actually studied oofda.
He's a Harvard guy, too.
You wrote a thesis on oofda.
I did.
That was your thesis paper.
Yeah, I sure did, yes.
All right. Well, Matt, appreciate you. Is there anything else? Well, we need to cover the gridiron greats, man. This Mike Ditka thing is really amazing.
Yeah, Coach started this a while ago, and I'm fortunate enough to be involved. We just help players, former players who are in dire need. You know, we're talking basics, medical care, food, shelter, those types of things. And we have our big cigar party tomorrow night. If anybody's in town here listening, gridirongreats.org. It's such a great time. There'll be 100 Hall of Famers there, and it's a very low key atmosphere. Everybody just hanging out, smoking cigars and drinking scotch, and we're gonna raise a bunch of money to help our brothers.
That sounds wonderful. Matt Burke, two-time All-Pro, Super Bowl champion with the Ravens, part of one of the great Super Bowl teams in memory. There he goes. We appreciate you and have a great week here on Radio Row.
Thanks a lot, guys. You do the same.
Thank
that
you,
was
Matt.
Terrific
yes,
insights
oof
into the town, oof into football.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.